Hi, this is Kriva, just adding an extra warning to the start of this episode that this chapter, as well as continuing on the child endangerment from the previous chapter, also includes comedic self-disemboweling in it. So just a heads up about that.
Do we still need the moment of silence, or does Zoom take care of that us for
We
that now?
don't really need it, but we can do it if you like.
That's okay. There's no need to patronize me to make me feel useful.
Hello, welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Kriva, and my friend MJ.
Yo.
How are you doing? I know how you're doing because we just spent like half an hour before we started recording talk about how we're doing. And the answer for both of us is...
We were talking about back pain and why call centers desperately, desperately, desperately need unions.
Yes. Back pain sucks. I had like 3 or 4 days early in the week where I felt really good, really... My health was really improving. I was sleeping well. My back wasn't killing me. This is no longer the case anymore. I have a physio appointment booked that I should have done months ago.
And I am in the stage of chronic. I don't know. Chronic seems to go, like, you get real motivated, you do something about it, and then, oh, fuck everything. You get real motivated to do something about it. Oh, fuck everything. I'm sort of in a weird state. Like, I will get back to trying to discover a better treatment plan soon, but I'm kind of in the point where I'm like, well, got some spine demons.
Yeah.
It's got some demons living in my spine.
Yeah, I don't know. I have had like fucking an MRI, X-ray, and ultrasound at this point, trying to figure out if there's any like particular cause other than working at a desk job.
I'm old.
And yeah, like I don't know. Maybe this is going too much into fucking medical talk, but like, All the tests seem to say there's no real permanent or significant or like dangerous damage to my back. I've just been told, yeah, you've no fucking muscles there. My spine is apparently too straight. And I need to probably do exercises. I'm going to a proper physio. In a couple days, we'll see how it goes. I should have done this ages ago. I've been just going back to my GP repeatedly instead of just going to a physio instead.
Well, kids, if you're over 30, do stretches. Look after that core strength.
And if you're under 30, also do stretches.
If you're if you've had scoliosis surgery. Don't listen to a doctor who tells you it's all going to be fine and you got to do nothing. Wait till you heal and get into physio.
If you're doing like gender transition that involves drastically reducing the amount of testosterone in your body, start doing stretches because your muscles are going to get weaker, but your skeleton is not going to get smaller.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Well.
Unless they do invent a form of HRT that like shrinks your skeleton proportions down a bit, that'd be great. I don't think that's happening.
One of my trans femme friends had Sherman syndrome as a kid, which is where your skeleton grows too fast for your body.
Oh, that sounds nasty.
And I like to say that even her skeleton did not like her assigned gender at birth. Just was like, nope, I gotta get out of here. My spine tried to escape sideways. Yeah.
And mine is apparently it's just, yeah, too straight. It doesn't bend enough. I don't fucking know.
The straight spines are not okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, back pain
Anyway.
sucks. Did they have back pain in Ming Dynasty China? Probably.
Probably, like, I feel like there is, for, like, compared to, like, other societies in the same time period, I think they probably actually had a lot of desk jobs.
Yeah, they had real big civil service. Yeah, I wonder what kind of stretches the Ming Dynasty civil service did.
Yeah, so in the book we're ostensibly here to talk about,
Yep.
we are in the Bixu kingdom, or the Young Master's kingdom, where the king has ordered was it 1,111 boys to be slaughtered, to take out their hearts. Sun Wukong has whisked the boys away to safety, or he's told some other gods to do it, rather.
Yeah, delegation.
And he has shapeshifted into Trippy Tack's appearance to go talk to the king. So, when he gets to the court, the king asks him. Or he tells them that they need something from him to cure his illness. And Wukong is playing dumb and he's just like, oh, I'm just a poor traveling monk sworn to poverty. How could I have anything that you, a great king, would need? And the king is like, we want your heart.
Using it.
Yeah. Well, no,
Sorry.
that's not Wukong's reaction. Wukong decides to have a bit of fun with this. So he's like, "Oh, I've got loads of hearts. What heart do you need? What color? What which one do you need?"
Let me get out my selection.
Yeah. And the king, this is the setup for a pun. The king says, "We want your black heart." So Wukong's like, oh, okay, cool. Grabs a knife, cuts his stomach or cuts his chest open. Actually, you asked for warnings earlier. This probably could have done with one.
Kids, you get all the benefits of these warnings after this is recorded. I got a conversation at the start where we talk about back pain and unions, and then, oh, by the way, we're looking at child murder, cannibalism, someone eats their own skin, Tripitaka beats himself to death with his horse's head, just
Cannibalism is table stakes in this
Yeah,
story,
at
in
this point,
fairness.
cannibalism is just like, it's very background.
But yeah, Wukong just like cuts his chest open and like dozens of hearts pour out. And according to the narrator, there is a red heart, a white heart, a yellow heart, an avaricious heart, a greedy heart, an envious heart, a petty heart, a competitive heart, an ambitious heart, a scornful heart, a murderous heart, a vicious heart, a fearful heart, a cautious heart, a perverse heart, a nameless, obscure heart, and all kinds of hearts, but no black heart.
So Wukong is an emo kid who's just gone through their first breakup.
Yeah. And so Wukong shapes shifts back into his original form, and He says, good priests like me don't have black hearts. That this is this the one with the black heart is the royal father-in-law, that Taoist. He's the evil one. I'm going to rip him open and show it to you.
There's a black heart in front of you all the
Yeah.
time.
There's a footnote explaining that, like, which I found funny, was like, oh, black heart, and then like a translation in Mandarin of like is a metaphor for like an evil someone evil intentions. Like, yeah, that's kind of same
It's
thing
kind
in
of.
English. That was kind of obvious.
Yeah.
Thank you for the footnote, but like, yeah,
Yeah.
that was kind of clear in
Yep.
English.
We appreciate your attention to detail, Mr. Wu, but I don't think that was necessary.
You.
Mr. Yu. Yeah, sorry. How long have we been doing this podcast?
4 years. Has
Yep.
it
Time ceased being real a
been?
long time ago. Time doesn't exist anymore.
I keep saying, sorry, I still enjoy doing this podcast. If nothing else, a nice excuse to like talk to MJ more frequently than I probably would
Yay.
otherwise. But God, why did I think this was a good idea to commit to this?
It'll take a year. It's a fun little lockdown project. That'll take a year.
Yeah.
We love the story. I like this. This is story time for me. Usually, if I'm doing comedy stuff, I'm trying to take a step back and be more the talent
Yeah.
and let someone else do the organizing. But usually, if I'm doing something like this, I'm doing the research, I'm doing the marketing, I'm doing this, that, and the other thing. So it is just kind of nice to have story time and just
Yeah.
sit back and be a clown. I do fuck all for this except turn up.
But yeah, but the so the Taoist he recognizes Wukong and he's like, "Oh fuck, bye." And legs it.
It's fair. You know
Yeah.
what? It's fair.
Yeah, so he like turns into a beam of light, picks up his daughter, the Queen Beauty, the king's favorite concubine, and legs it out of the palace.
Well, your illness has been cleared, sir.
Yeah.
You just had to stop fucking for 10 minutes. This is all on you, friend.
Yeah. So, all the officials rush forward and they thank Wukong. But he's like, "Hey, stop bowing. Where the fuck is the king?"
Stop
Because
dowing. Just stop doing Taoism.
yeah,
We're doing a sectarianism here, can't you see?
stop dowing. Start budding.
All your dowing is getting in the way of our sectarianism.
But yeah, he's like, lads, stop thanking me. Where the fuck is the king?" they're worried that the Queen Beauty grabbed him, so they go to check her chambers. She's not there, the king isn't there. But they while they're doing this, they run into the queen consort and all the other concubines, and they are like thanking him for getting rid of your one who the king was giving all the attention to, basically.
I mean, I feel like if the king's gone, surely there's some member of the royal family who's less inclined to think that 1,111 lives are a decent price for fucking all he wants.
Yeah,
It's a low bar, even by, royalty, absolute monarchy standards, that's kind of a low bar.
the story never really puts any blame on the king. It's like it's purely just like the Taoists' fault for like leading him astray. They refer to the king repeatedly as like the baffled king, composing Hallelujah, I guess. But like it's entirely like never really laid on the king's shoulders at all. For yeah, ordering the deaths of 1,000 children. just because he'd wanted to like live forever.
I mean,
It's from it's a, it's yeah.
the charitable interpretation of that is just a recognition and acceptance of the fact that all royalty are fucking idiots. But even by that standard, you know.
This is, I think, this is part of the thing where, we said like 4 years ago when we started this podcast talking about like how this is meant to be a very satirical work, but we are also like unequipped with cultural context to really recognize the particulars of satire in it. So I'm not entirely sure how this is meant to be read in terms of what the narrative is kind of saying about I guess like the state and about kings and anything, if it's trying to make any particular point.
I mean, there have been very few royals we could come across who weren't either fucking useless or insane or both.
But like they're never it's it it is like unless the, if they're a monster king, yeah, you kill them, but if they're like a human king, the resolution is always like bringing them back on the right path and showing them, or like solving their problems. It is not, you know, Wukong's not going to be going around dethroning any kings in this novel, no matter
No.
what they do,
No.
unless they're monsters.
But I sort of feel in this case, even if you're looking at, I mean, the dude who wrote this went so far to legitimize this as saying that this was a government ordained pilgrimage to
Yeah.
India for these texts. But even through that rubric, even with such a devotion to the status quo, I feel like even with that context, well, I guess this fucker's dead. Who's next?
Yeah.
is an acceptable course of action here.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't, I'm not sure the king. You would think with the amount of fucking that's happening, the king would have an heir, but
Yeah.
apparently there's, I don't think there's any real mention of one.
I mean, if Queen Beauty is a demon rather
Yeah.
than a sort of a Taoist subject who's been co-opted
She's
or
absolutely also a
converted,
demon.
then
Yeah. Like,
then
I don't think it's gonna be a spoiler to say that.
maybe there's an interspecies breeding barrier there, which might also be why she was one of the favorites if you can't knock her up.
We've had a problem with too many heirs in this before. Like, I guess
Yeah.
the one thing is they did acknowledge, like, despite the fact that Tong Tai Zong is portrayed generally positively throughout this novel, he is like blood brothers of Tripitaka, he's sponsoring this pilgrimage. They do fully acknowledge the fact that he murdered his two brothers
Yeah.
when he goes to hell and they attack him.
Yeah.
So like I don't know.
What can you expect from royalty, really?
But yeah, they do eventually find the king. He was just hiding. There's he's like he's they like find him being like escorted around by a couple of eunuchs. And the officials, now that the Taoist is gone, are more than happy to openly air grievances to the king and say that, oh, the royal father-in-law was a perverse fiend, and it's good that he's been driven out now. Now that he's gone, we're all brave enough to say that we hate him.
Yeah, you'll find someone else to fuck.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you've got plenty of people to fuck.
He literally already has several other wives, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, the king is just kind of like, hey, you to Sun Wukong now in his original shape. Hey, you were a lot prettier this morning. Why are you so ugly now? And Wukong explains the shape-shifting and his master and everything, and the king invites the rest of the pilgrims to come to the palace. When I don't know, this is no consequence. I just thought I'd throw in this line. When the chief minister sees them coming, he shouts out, "Holy Father, what a bunch of goblins and monsters!" And Wu Jing says, "Please don't be offended by our ugliness. We were born this way."
Apart from Baji, but he deserves it.
Wukong turns Tripitaka back to normal, and he asks the king if he knows where the Taoist came from. So, what the Taoist claimed when he arrived was that he was from the Pure Fluorescence Village on the Willow Slope, which is a mountain about 70 miles south of the city. Or miles, again, it's like the miles in this is actually like half a kilometer, so like 30, 35 kilometers ish south of the city. Wukong tells Baji to come with him. They're gonna go find him, but Baji says he's too hungry to fight at the moment, so the king gets them a vegetarian feast first before they head out.
Well, he's inclusive.
After that they head out to the mountain, but there's no sign of any village. And after looking for a while, Wukong summons a local spirit to ask where the Pure Fluorescent Village is. But the spirit is like, "Oh, there's no village around here, but I think I know who you're looking for. If you want to find him, there's a willow tree on the south bank of the brook over there with nine branches. You need to circle around it three times from left to right." I don't know if from left to right here means clockwise or anti-clockwise, but
Yeah.
three times from left to right, and then three times the other way. And then lean on the trunk with both hands and call out three times, "Open the door." And that's how you
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Yeah, that's how you reveal the monster's hideout. So they find the tree, and Wukong tells Baji to hold to stand far back, out of sight. And Wukong is going to do the spell and go in alone. And if he needs backup, he'll retreat, back to Baji for help. So Wukong does the spell. The tree vanishes, two doors open to reveal a cave. At inside, he finds the two monsters, commiserating over their plans being ruled by that ape head monk, is what they call Wukong.
Not inaccurate.
Yeah. Wukong, well, he's an ape head, but also ape body, ape arms, ape leg, ape. He is just an ape.
I mean, there's still it's still not well, I mean, monkey versus ape, that's not at all
Okay.
Discord librarian here.
Wukong starts fighting. The Taoist defends himself. He has like a dragon staff, it's described as, I think. But Baji hears the melee inside, and he decides that he wants to join in regardless of whether or not Wukong needs it. So he rushes in and he just like tries to smash down the tree to get in, which it knocks over and splurts blood and screams as it dies, because
Ooh, geez.
the tree was also a monster spirit, it turns out.
You gotta be careful with those monster trees.
Yeah. Well, it's
More of them than
all
you can shake a stick at.
but ch
No, I can't do better. It's Sunday and I'm tired.
Well, it's already dead, so it's not an issue now. But yeah, Wukong and the Taoist kind of fight their way out of the cave. I'm kind of unclear what happens with, like, I'm kind of unclear of the mechanics of the hidden entrance and the tree and all that, but they exit. And the Taoist tries to turn into a beam of light again and escape, and they fly after him. But as they're flying, they hear the call of a phoenix and a crane, and they run into a god called the Aged Star of the South Pole, who has managed to already capture the Taoist.
Finally, some reinforcements.
Yeah, so it turns out the Taoist is another, like, animal spirit that belonged to one of the gods that escaped. Again, they keep doing this. They need to keep better control of their pets.
Yeah, take care of
Th
your pets, Jesus.
their pets, which are also believed sapient
Yeah, let's
beings.
not think about that part.
He's a deer anyway, if anyone had any money on it being a deer this time.
Just give them some enrichment in their enclosure.
Yeah.
They're not gonna try and, well, they will. The beasts yearn for freedom. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. You just get a cat.
Yeah, cats are nice. They're homicidal, but they're too small to be a real problem.
Yeah.
If you wanted a predator with a killer instinct, get a cat.
I mean, well, this guy has a deer, so probably he didn't.
No, actually, yeah, a deer with a killer instinct is new.
A deer with a killer instinct was fucking would be scary.
This is something Wendigo. I am not going to make comments on things I don't understand today.
Anyway, they ask the South Pole Star to stick around for a minute while they capture the daughter too. So she that when they return to the cave, she tries to flee past them by turning into a beam of light as well, but Wukong managed just to, like, hit her out of the air as a beam of light. If you want to do some, like, stupid death battle style, like, statistics on, like, how fast his reactions are to hit a beam of light, I obsess over units and stuff now. I'm actually not going to do that. I'm not sure why I'm bringing this up. I'm just being, like, bitchy about something for no reason.
Physicists.
Those death battle YouTube guys have had it too easy for too long. But yeah, he, like, hits her out of the air, and she falls to the ground in her true form, which is a vixen.
Oh dear.
Baji immediately just kills her. He just kind of gets overexcited with bloodlust again and just starts, like, attacking her when she's down. He ends up killing her.
The pig is a
It's
worry.
a problem that he does this.
It is a problem that he does this. I mean, it's a quicker version of what they were gonna do anyway.
Wukong? Yeah, Wukong is his own kind of fucked up, and he's like, hold on, stop, leave her body in one piece so that we can bring it back and show it to the king.
Ooh. Well, that's the best way that sentence could have ended.
Oh God. So they return to the star to find him with the deer simultaneously, like, rubbing its head while scolding it, which is a very, very real pet owner behavior, to be honest.
I'm such a naughty boy. How did you get out and nearly murder 1,111 children?
Yeah, I mean,
How did you get out? How did you do that?
this is probably what it's like for the gods, honestly. That's their perspective. It's this is the same thing to him as if, like, your cat snuck out through a window you'd left open a crack and, like, brought back a dead bird.
Yeah. Focus on the rodents, cat.
Yeah, so they fly back to the kingdom, and Wukong just like throws the dead fox at the king's feet and is like, "Hey, here's your queen. You want to fuck her again?"
Fuck me, no.
He's
Ew. Ew.
the king and all his like consorts and officials are all terrified by big gods showing up suddenly in their palace, and all start bowing to the star. And Wukong is like, "Hey, you shouldn't bow to me, you should bow to your father-in-law," and points at the deer.
He loves a gloat, does Wukong?
He loves rubbing it in. The king is completely mortified and doesn't know what to say to this, which is, yeah, what could you possibly say? So he just like thanks Wukong and orders another feast to be thrown.
I mean, I don't know what the diplomatic thing to do is in those circumstances either, and food tends to smooth a lot of things over.
So when the banquet is over, or and the star is about to leave, the king begs him for some sort of way to eliminate his fucking induced illnesses, and
Dude, just.
lengthen his life. And the star is like, "I don't have any
No.
like elixir on me. I have some dates. Do you want some dates?" He just has he just like gives him some dates that he has in his
You want a
pocket.
sweet?
Yeah.
I got some polos.
The thing it is like the thing it is like it is like
Your
food
mouth
from
smells like something died in there. I mean, might be a separate problem, but that one's solvable.
It is like food from the gods, so it does still like immediately heal the king. Baji is like, "Hey, do you have any of those left? I'd like some dates too." He's like, "No."
Yeah, no,
Then he
absolutely
leaves.
not.
He's
Good.
like, "Next time I'll see you, I'll give you a case of them, whatever. Bye."
Yeah. Just hit me up. Hit me up later.
Yeah.
See you at some point.
As the pilgrims are getting ready to leave, Tripitaka tells the king to lay off the fucking and do some good deeds instead. He says, "In all affairs, you should allow your strength to compensate for your weakness, and you will find that this is quite sufficient to stave off sickness and lengthen your life."
Eat your
No, it's no,
veggies,
it
stop
no, it.
fucking demons.
Also, I will say, sometimes you just get fucking sick. Sometimes your back decides fuck you.
Yep. Sometimes it
Sometimes you
does.
work at a fucking desk job.
It'd be easier to help an old lady cross the road if I could walk.
Anyway, the king tries to lavish them with gold and silver for the road, but Tripitaka refuses payment as usual. But he does insist on escorting Tripitaka out personally in like his royal carriage, to see them out of the kingdom.
Make sure they leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as they're heading away, the gods that Wukong told to like keep all the children safe show up and with all the children, because apparently Wukong kind of forgot to go get them and they had to just come back themselves.
Detail. He's not a details guy.
Yeah, so they show up and return all the children to their families. And when this happens, the crowd in the kingdom seeing them out are like so happy that A, their kids are all back safe, and B, they're not going to have to like kill them all under orders from their king. That the crowd basically like grab the pilgrims, forcefully crowd surf Trippy Taka back into the city, and start like passing him around every house, because every house is like insisting on like feeding him and looking after him and thanking him personally for like saving and letting free their sons.
Pass around party monk.
Yeah, so it literally takes them a month before they're able to leave.
That's a month of free food.
Yeah. They're just stuck getting thanked in this kingdom for a month, which is just a cute detail to end the chapter on.
Yeah. You don't do it for the kudos, but sometimes that's nice, you know?
Hey, sometimes saving 1,000 children is worth it. Not all the time. Sometimes you get free food out of it.
Jesus Christ.
What did we learn?
It's okay to take a break and stop fucking.
Hmm.
You know, all royalty, not that smart. Not that intelligent, pretty ruthless, and yeah. Nobody apparently wants to save their kid, but everyone wants to make you nice vegetarian food when you do. Also, the blood libel is very, very old.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess the thing comparing it to blood libel is like, this is like, I don't know. It's not secret in this. Is the king is like openly ordering everyone to do this.
Yeah, but it's still that thing of, and it's a trope you see reused by hate groups time and time again,
Yeah, they're
is
after
that,
your kids.
yeah, and you can justify any sort of harm if it's to save children.
Yeah.
You can justify, like, there are very few people who won't kill to save their kids. So if you create that threat in a population's mind and then point at this group of people and say, "Go get 'em,"
Yeah, I don't.
then that's what's been done with Jewish people for centuries. It's what's happened with gays in the 1980s. It's what's happening to trans people now.
Yeah, I mean it's I don't know. I don't know why I'm suddenly fighting you on this metaphor, but it's just like that kind of isn't really the function it's serving here either, though. It's, you know, it is just like a top down, the king is demanding blood and we
The
can't
king
do anything about it
is
because he's the king.
demanding the king is demanding blood, and we and it's happening at the behest of someone from a
The wrong
rival
religion.
religion,
Yeah.
which is every Taoist we see in this book is a demon. Like,
Yeah.
this is a lot of fun. I enjoy it, but the satire is kind of cool. We can see it here, but it very much is a piece of sectarian propaganda from the way I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, they're
I may
all
be wrong. I
they're
have done zero research into the cultural context behind this novel. Maybe Taoists were really out here murdering kids. I don't know, but it's certainly a trope that is used and reused throughout the centuries. The fact that it's improper sexual behavior that's getting the king into this sort of trouble is interesting as well.
Yeah, there was I guess there's like there's the Lord equal to Earth, who was like who was antagonistic to the pilgrims because they killed his one of a kind magic tree.
Yeah, I
But like
mean,
he was
special tree.
he wasn't a monster, and they were mates by the end of it, so
Did he
there.
also convert to Buddhism? Because I can't remember.
No, he was just a Taoist.
Okay.
And there is at least like some lip service paid to like the three religions should be venerated equally or whatever, and you shouldn't like I think it was like the Khart Slo Kingdom where they're oppressing all the Buddhists, and when they free the Buddhists, Wukong is like, oh, you need to respect all the religions.
That's
But
fair.
it is a very obvious pattern where, yeah, most of the Taoist characters are monsters, are bloodthirsty monsters.
It's kind of interesting as well. There tend to be bloodthirsty monsters where power is given. So
Yeah.
maybe it's a sort of thing of, hey, well, I mean, I'm very much I'm wading into dangerous territory here. So a deliberate decision was made. I don't know whether I regret it or not. Deliberate decision was made not to go too far into the cultural context of this novel so that we can kind of more appreciate it as a universal tool of storytelling,
I
this sort of
meant
thing that's been adapted so many times. And I'm wading into some sort of dangerous territory,
I
coming in
meant
with
to
no
do more research, and I have not had the particular spoons for it at all.
Yeah, me neither. And I studied this bullshit. I got no excuse. Like you're really good at converting all the measurements in this novel. I'm really falling down on my area of expertise.
This is why I got a physics degree, so I could do measurement conversions in
Yeah.
old novels.
I got English literature and sociology because sometimes you need to really know the reasons that you are mad at things and have none of the prospects or economic power to do anything about it. Humanities. But yeah, wading into dangerous territory. It's just a tr looking at it through a very Western and uninformed lens, but it is a trend, and perhaps it is at the front of my mind right now because, you know, gestures vaguely at everything that's happening, and all the rhetoric that's being directed towards a minority that I am a part of. You know, Nazis are a big thing now. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that they're floating about the place?
Yeah, there's a lot of refugee centers being burnt down.
Good. A little bit of arson going on right now.
It's not great.
Not ideal.
I've
Not
had
fucking
I've had
ideal.
people before be like, oh, Ireland's like doing in terms of like politics becoming very fascist in a lot of places. Like, oh, it hasn't really happened in Ireland, right? You're like, you've been pretty good. There's not really any growing right. It's like, yeah,
Jesus fucking Christ. I mean,
there's a lot of arson happening.
we are, I think, a little bit luckier in that there's not the same level thus far of silent majority agreeing with these thugs and voting for extreme right-wing parties with a credible chance of getting in. Thus far.
I am worried
However,
about the Farmers Alliance Party. I'm quite worried about the
yeah.
Farmers Alliance Party.
But you even were that not a thing, it just takes a violent and well-organized group of arseholes to become incredibly dangerous. Yeah, It's yeah. Well, support your local anti-fascist organizing efforts because we all fucking need it.
This is a
That's a
fun way
nice
to
way to
end a
end this
podcast. I
podcast.
might cut all of this out. I don't know.
I moved next to a very nice park. And I saw a lot of magnolia and cherry blossom in bloom yesterday. And had a very nice picnic where I made some very nice sticky tofu lettuce wraps. That turned out a lot better than I expected them to, and they were
Nice.
delicious. So that's a little note of mindful gratitude and positivity on which we can end.
See you next time.
Bye.
God.